Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is from the Summer Revelation series called Has Your Church Compromised? And this is part two. Now here's Pastor Steve.
We're at number three today. Satan's third method of attack is to tempt us to compromise our faith. And Christ warns the church about idolatry and sexual immorality. Sexual immorality will keep you out of heaven. Let me read a scripture in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. It says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. There is a drought for the word of God today in many of the areas that the book of Revelation speaks of. What Jesus says to the church is something we need to hear today, because each of these things relate to us today, especially this one we're about to get into. Christ warns the church of idolatry, the things that we put before God, and sexual immorality, the things that we do that are forbidden by God. Hebrews 12 and 14 said, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Revelation chapter 21 and 8, it says, but the cowardly, the unfaithful, and detestable people, murderers, sexual sinners, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will find themselves in the lake of burning sulfur, because this is the second death. Now listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 2 and 12. He said, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. Christ's two-edged sword represents his powerful words, able to protect, but also able to pronounce judgment. Listen to what he says. He says to that church, I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain loyal to me. You refuse to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among those there in Satan's city. Now, Antipas, we're not certain who he was. However, one historian wrote that he was the angel or the minister of the church of Pergamos. And for Jesus to actually mention his name, perhaps it confirms the fact that he actually was. Pergamos was the capital city of Asia, and it was a city that worshiped many Greek idols. In fact, the Roman authorities found it difficult to cope with all of the religious groups, so they demanded that they all compromise and blend doctrines and become each other's friends. Pergamos was known as the city of temples. It contained a pantheon of pagan deities and temples. And Zeus is considered the chief deity of the Greek pantheon. They believe that he ruled all of the gods, little g. The temple of Zeus was the most celebrated temple. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And it was dedicated to the serpent god, whose insignia was a serpent entwined about on a staff. Believe it or not, in the temple of Zeus, there was a living serpent that people were to walk in, bow down, and worship. Serpent worship was so prevalent in Pergamos that there are still coins today that have the insignia of the serpent on the pole. This is probably what Jesus meant, that Pergamos was at Satan's seat. It's interesting that Jesus describes in Revelation 12 and 9, Satan as the serpent. It says here, the dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world. So we see clearly that Pergamos was a place where Satan had established his authority. Jesus had two complaints against the church. Complaints that they had to correct immediately. Verse 14, he says, you tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, it was to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Folks, here we are. Here we are today. This was something that Jesus spoke to his church in Pergamos. He said, you've got to get rid of sexual immorality in the church. You've got to get rid of idol worship, putting things and people in places and these gods, these local gods, before God himself. In fact, Paul explains the real problem with eating food that's offered to the idols. He says, when you're doing this, you're actually worshiping demons. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 19, he says, what am I trying to say? Am I trying to say that food offered to idols have some significance or that idols are real gods? Not at all. What I'm saying is that those sacrifices to idols are offering sacrifices to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons as well. He went on to say, that is Jesus, in verse 15, in a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Now, who are the Nicolaitans? In the Greek, the name Nicholas means to conquer the people. It refers to the development of a priestly clergy in the church that took authority over common believers. While there must be pastoral leadership in the church, Jesus never meant for this distinct separation between clergy and laity, in which those who are leading the church lord over the church. That was never his plan. We are fellow believers. We're all equal members in the body of Jesus Christ. He never meant for us to go to others to pray for us. Jesus said, ask the Father yourself. He said, pray to the Father. Say, our Father who art in heaven. In Hebrews 4 and 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus also told us that whenever we have a need, we don't have to go to someone and say, pray for me. Ask on my behalf. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. So these were some of the complaints that Jesus had against that church. And lo and behold, we're living in a time and we're still facing the same types of attacks that Satan has against the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in verse 16, repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to what the Spirit is saying and understand what he is saying to the churches. You know, one of the things about the doctrine of Balaam was the fact that he told Balak, stop fighting Israel as an enemy, establish a relationship. Invite the people to come to your festivals where they can participate and they can feast with you, and then they will offer a sacrifice to your gods. And that is how you can conquer them.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for joining us again for this series in the book of Revelation. What makes this book so important is that Jesus himself sent this message to us about the end times. According to the Bible, we're living in that prophetic season. The book of Revelation reveals who Jesus is today, his authority over the world, both now and the future. Jesus warned that his return would be in a day and an hour when most will be surprised. In Luke chapter 17 and 26, it says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. The book of Revelation explains what's coming next prophetically and how to be prepared. So keep listening. I want to invite you to our Sunday morning service this week at Spirit Life Church. Your attendance is the only way that I know that you're listening. I would love to meet you and pray with you personally. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you'd like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
You know, it is easier to be led astray by an individual who is a friend than an enemy. Because an enemy, you keep at arm's length. You know, I've got to watch this person. I've got to watch these people. This is dangerous. But when it's a person who's supposed to be your friend or a close relation, you got to let them in. You got to believe what they're saying. One of the reasons why God commanded his people not to be improperly joined emotionally with people of opposing religions was for that reason. And also, the influence of evil spirits that actually accompany false religions. Now, many have compromised God's word, and they're walking in sin and judgment. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, this is going right back to how God is speaking to us today, how Jesus is speaking to the church his church today, we have got to get rid of sexual immorality out of the church. You say there's no sexual immorality in the church. Well, the devil would like to have you believe that. But unfortunately, there is. And the devil has grabbed hold of, especially many of our young people. Listen to this recent poll. It says a majority of Christians, 57%, say sex between unmarried adults in a committed relationship is sometimes or always acceptable. That's 57%. That includes 67% of mainline evangelical Protestants, 64% of Catholics, and 57% of Protestants. The name Pergamus actually means married, reminding us that each of the local churches Jesus was talking to were married to him. Jesus would often say to the church, you're committing adultery on me when you start believing in idols. To worship idols, to worship other gods, to worship other people and other things is like committing adultery against me. Listen to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. It says, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promise you, as a pure bride to one husband, his name is Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one that we preach. Now, folks, we as Christians ought to love everyone, but that love is to have boundaries. Our boundaries are we are not to be yoked together with individuals emotionally who do not love and serve our Christ. Now, I'm not talking about family members. I'm talking about those outside of your family, because you're stuck with your family. But you can decide how much you want to visit them and be with them and allow your kids to be around them. You still have the power to do that. But listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Some say, well, that's so cruel. How can you say that? But listen to what the scripture says. How can righteousness be a partner to wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and the temple of idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Folks, listen, you have got to understand that your relationship with people has to have boundaries. God expects them to have boundaries, or you are endangering your faithfulness to God, or your exposure to temptation just by being around people that you should not be around, because there are evil spirits that accompany people's lives who want to become your friend too. Their spirits want to become your friends and follow you home and give you a secret bondage in your life and introduce you to some type of behavior that is sinful and godless. It's important for us to understand, folks, that right now, today, we have got to have boundaries in our Christian lives. Boundaries that say, I will not put any person, anything above my God. That's it. And boundaries that say, I will never commit unauthorized sexual behavior. I will never be one who operates through sexual immorality. Marriage was created by God. Sex is good because God created it, but He created it in the binds or the bounds of matrimony between a husband and a wife. But beyond that, the Bible says God will destroy those who live immoral lives. It's in the church. It's in the church. Today, 176 million Americans claim to be Christian, 69% of the population. Yet only 6% of U.S. adults, which is 9% of those identifying as Christians, possess a biblical worldview. And you know what? The biblical worldview is simply believing the total accuracy of the Bible. Believing that the Bible says exactly what it means. Guys, as a church, we're on a slippery slope. It's time for us to believe God's word. It's time for us to turn away from sin. It's time for us to turn away from sexual immorality. It's time for us to turn away from putting people, things, objects before God. The message that Jesus gave to Pergamum is the same message He gives to us today, right now. Put away your idols. Put away anything that you have standing between you and your relationship with God. How terrible in a poll that would say the majority of professing Christians only pray 5 minutes a day. How long do you play on your video games? How often or how long are you on your iPhone during the day? How much time do you take for your personal entertainment? 5 minutes a day for God? And for the church, really, to begin to think that sexual immorality is okay, more than 50% believe it's okay? We've got to turn from our sins. The church needs a revival where their lives are changed and that they align their lives according to the word of God. This is the message to the church in Pergamos. Get rid of your idols. And stop your sexual immorality.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was from the summer series of Revelation, and this is part two of Has Your Church Compromised? Now, Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Hello, this is Pastor Steve Hill, and I want to thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. It is my sincere prayer that you will experience God's love, forgiveness, and healing. You can receive this by repeating this prayer, so join me. Father, forgive me of my sins. I turn away from them. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Change me into a new creation. Thank you for saving me and changing my life. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, then you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior And know this, that God loves you so much. And whatever you need, just call on Him and He'll answer your prayer. God bless you and keep on listening to A Place to Grow.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.